The cry woke her, completely alert in an instant. She was halfway across the room, weapon in hand, when she thought to grab the security system's master control and plug in her implant. The paddock. One pony down, legs thrashing. Justin, Joe's elder child, sprawled in the grass. Helen, running. The other pony standing stiff, head thrown up, ears pricked, with Char, the younger child, clinging to its mane. They weren't supposed to ride until after breakfast. It was after breakfast. She'd overslept, and Helen hadn't woken her. She threw the scans to full power. There, a glint in the briars. No time to get downstairs, outside. She was across the second-story bridge to the far side of the house, out on the balcony, peering through the exuberant flowering vine and its equally exuberant bees, when the assassin stood up to get a better shot at the other pony or its rider. Or at Helen, who was ignoring the obvious danger and running straight for the fallen child. Ignoring the bees, ignoring Helen's yells and the second pony's sudden bolt, Grace focused her whole attention on drilling a hole through the assassin. He fell. Grace scanned the area again for any other threat.
A lone assassin?
Stupid of them, and Grace wasn't sure she believed it. Movement in a neighboring field caught her eye. A rabbit, streaking away from where it had been quietly nibbling grass. Her gaze tracked the streak back, to another tangle of briars. There. Her vision, aided by highly illicit processors in her implant, she detected heat radiation. And there, aided again by other highly illicit bioelectronics, she directed her next shot. Helen had reached Justin, thrown herself over him as a protective blanket.
For all the good that will do, stay down, Helen.
The second pony had slowed from its wild bolt. The child still hugged its neck, unhurt, mouth a round O, eyes wide. The pony flicked its ears back and forth, then suddenly lowered its head to snatch grass. The child slithered off, unbalanced by that move. Unhurt, apparently, Char threw a leg over the pony's neck and tugged at its mane, trying the trick they'd taught the pony 2 weeks before, to raise its head and lift a child rider to its back. Grace didn't want to leave the window, where she had the best view, but she had to. She was still wearing her night clothes, the close-fitting black garment with pad-protected elbows and knees in which she'd climbed out of her own window at midnight and back into it at 4 a.m. When she went downstairs, Caitlin saw her and froze, fist to her mouth. Grace thought of what Caitlin was seeing, a slim black figure holding a very nasty-looking weapon. One of them.
It's all right, Caitlin. It's just me.
But, Miss Grace...
Caitlin, go in the kitchen and stay there.
The police...
Don't call them. I will or Helen will.
The doctor?
One of us will call if a doctor's needed. Stay in the kitchen until you're called. Can you do that?
A nod from Caitlin, still paler than she should have been. Grace moved to the back of the house. The garden, from above, had an obvious plan, but from the ground presented too many obstructions and distractions. She wanted to hurry. She might be needed now. But hurry brought her too predictably to walks and open spaces easy to range. They, if any such were still out there, would expect the hurry, the predictable direct approach through the main aisle in this garden, wide enough for a small tractor and its implements. Grace chose a slower route, but not much slower for someone who had prepared carefully, for whom the straight lines of apparently solid walls and hedges had gaps ready for use by those who knew them. She knew them all.